Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, fourth canto, chapter 28, chapter entitled Paranjan Becomes a Woman in His Next Life. And today's verse is 41. Shakshad Bhagavad Vatoktena Guruna Harina Nripaha Vishuddha Jnana Deepena Spurata Vishvatomakam Shakshad Bhagavad Toktena Guruna Harina Nripaha Vishuddha Jnana Deepena Purata Vishvatomakam Shakshad Bhagavat Toktena Guruna Harina Nipa Vishuddha Jnana Deepena Purata Vishvatomakam. Please repeat. Shakshad directly. Bhagavata by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Uktena instructed. Guruna the spiritual master. Harina by Lord Hari. Nipa O King. Vishuddha pure. Jnana, knowledge, Deepena, by the light of, Spurata, enlightening, Vishvata Mukham, all angles of vision. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. In this way, King Malayadwaj attained perfect knowledge because in his pure state he was directly instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By means of such enlightening transcendental knowledge, he could understand everything from all angles of vision. Please repeat. In this way, King Malayadwaj attained perfect knowledge because in his pure state he was directly instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By the means of such enlightening transcendental knowledge, he could understand everything from all angles of vision. The poet Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the words Shakshad Bhagavatoktena Guruna Harina are very significant. The Supreme Personality of Godhead speaks directly to the individual soul when the devotee has completely purified himself by rendering devotional service to the Lord. Lord Krishna confirms this also in the Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Tesham satata yuktanam pajitam pritipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upyantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. The Lord is the Supersoul situated in everyone's heart, and he acts as the Cheta Guru, the spiritual master within. However, he gives direct instructions only to the advanced pure devotees. In the beginning, when a devotee is serious and sincere, The Lord gives him instructions or directions from within to approach a bona fide spiritual master. When one is trained by the spiritual master according to the regulative principles of devotional service and is situated on the platform of spontaneous attachment for the Lord, rag bhakti, the Lord also gives instructions from within. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajitam pritipurvakam. This distinct advantage is obtained by a liberated soul. Having attained such stage, King Malyadwaj was directly in touch with the Supreme Lord and was receiving instructions from him directly. Mukham karoti vacha lampangam laite girim yat kripa tamaham bande sri guru dinatarinam shakshad bhagavat vatoktena guruna harina nripa visadhyan pena purata vishvate mukham. In this way, King Malyadwaj attained perfect knowledge because in his pure state he was directly instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By means of such enlightening transcendental knowledge, he could understand everything from all angles of vision. So Narada Muni continues his instruction of Prichina Barishat through this allegory. An allegory is a story that illustrates some ideas, some concepts, philosophical principles. In this case, self-realization. So this is most pertinent, and this chapter is a brilliant elucidation of the condition of the conditioned soul in the material energy, who has forgotten his spiritual nature, is under the sway of the material energy. And also this chapter illustrates how to become free of that deluding potency. At the beginning of the chapter, this chapter is entitled Paranjan becomes a woman in his next life. This chapter, we hear that King Paranjan, the king of a city, suddenly found that his city was being attacked. This city is the body, the city of nine gates. So this is most pertinent, because the conditioned soul lives in such a way that he forgets that the city of nine gates will be attacked. We dance for but a little time upon the stage of life, at least in one body. So this foolishness should be avoided. The conception that it is just one life. The sinful person may consider that is an advantage. I can do what I like now. There'll be no consequence. That is the deluding potency's most fearful weapon. That it makes us complacent. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita that after you have seen the universal form, Arjuna, stand and fight. He doesn't say, Arjuna, now you know that I am everything, I am the controller of everything. Wait for somebody to save you. No, he tells Arjuna, stand and fight. He gives Arjuna all information, but then he puts the burden on Arjuna to act properly. So Arjuna says, yes, karishyate tavavachanam. So this is a great instruction. We may have a spiritual master. We may reside in Vrindavan Dham. We may have the Shastras translated and presented by a great Mahabhagavat. But do not think that that alone will save you from the cycle of birth and death. You must stand and fight. You must use your effort in the correct direction. Do not fall under the Messiah syndrome. Waiting. The Messiah will come and save you. Until then, just have faith and be complacent because you are saved. That is a foolish idea. The Messiah, the great Guru Parampara, has come. The Supreme Lord Himself has come and said, don't wait for Kripa, Siddhi. Perform your sadhana. Very few people get a degree from the university because they've performed some good work. Most people have to go through the university course. Then they get their degree. They have to study. They have to satisfy the professor. So unless we are determined to waste this life, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, we should learn how to stand and fight. Children, they run to their mother and father when they hear a loud bang, when it's dark at night. Oh, mummy, save me. But that is the work of children. Somebody who has come to fruition of knowledge knows how to act, and he should act. So this chapter gives us information how to stand and fight, and at the same time gives us the impetus to stand and fight. Paranjan, Narada Muni is telling Prichana Bharati, became a woman in his next life. Not that there's anything wrong with becoming a woman. Sometimes the foolish persons with a poor fund of knowledge, they say, oh, you are not feminists. Actually, we want the liberation of everyone. We don't want women's liberation alone. We want the liberation of every single living entity in the universe. We're not so small, petty-minded. Actually, the Vedic civilization gives the greatest respect to women. Who is not a son that does not respect his mother? Who thinks he is superior to his mother? And Chanika Pandit has said that those that are learned, they see three things. They see all things, all women as their mother. That means they see all women as superior. Actually, this is not just for women. But the Vaishnav is not interested in this equality nonsense. How can things that are different be equal? Is an apple equal to an orange? No, they're different. You may have equal affection, but they are dissimilar items. So similarly, this conception that is current in society now, that everything is equal, is a sign that there is no ability, no intelligence, no knowledge upon which to discriminate and categorize, see the variety of the creation. Sri Sri Gaur Nithai, Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyam Sundar, Lalit Vishakha, Govardhan Maharaj, Shalagram Maharaja ki jai. Actually, Vaishnavism is not searching for a oneness, an artificial oneness. But in Vaishnavism, we respect everyone. In the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, you will see that Uddhava is enjoined by Krishna that if you want to become Paramahamsa, as described in this verse, you must give respect to every living entity. The dogs, hogs, camels and asses. What to speak of being respectful to your mother. So Vaishnavism is not repressive in any way. Vaishnavism is a liberation theology. Vaishnavism is how to become a direct associate of the Supreme Lord in prem. And that is the only real liberation. And that is the only true aspiration. And that prem is within the heart. Nitya Siddha Krishna prem, Sadakabanai, Shravanadi Sudha Chitte Kride Udai. Krishna prem is eternally established within the heart. But it is dormant. It is awoken by Shravanadi. Navada Bhakti, Shravanam Ketanam Vishnu, Sudachitte. Then the consciousness becomes purified, as it is described in this verse, and then Kride Udai. That which is natural to the soul becomes awoken. Just like a seed, now it's springtime. So the plant was once a seed, but in the right conditions, the seed sprouts and reveals its true form and its true quality. So, Swarupena Avabhashtiti. We want to attain our spiritual form so that we can directly associate with the Supreme Lord. But that is lying dormant, like a tree within the seed. So, how to awaken it? We must live in the springtime of bhakti. We must water the seed. We must throw out the weeds. So the process of bhakti, sadhana bhakti, is given here very precisely. Paranjan saw the city being attacked. And he felt great distress. This is jara, old age. Jara has a relative called Vyadi. Everybody knows, who's more than 20, that as one ages, Vyadi comes to attend, disease. So here, earlier in the chapter, we see that the city was being attacked by Kalakanya, daughter of Yavanaraj. Kalakanya is the daughter of time. Kalakanya, Kala, the Kala Shakti. So, Kala Shakti is embodied in Lord Shiva. So, Lord Shiva is Gunavatar for Tamagun, destruction. So yes, destruction will take place of this body. This is the warning. This is the initial point. Initially, we may not be motivated by bhakti. We may then take inspiration from the understanding that time is very precious and this body is prone to destruction. And so what will be my destination? As this body, this city, was being attacked, Paranjan became very distressed. And he had already noticed, as time was attacking, that his wife was growing cold to him. He was getting disregarded by his attendants. This is a thing. It doesn't happen in Vaishnava society. But as in the material society, this is described in the third canto, that as somebody ages, the materialistic, selfish people, even the children of their own mother and father, start to disregard them. They have borne them, brought them up, but then the mother, the children start to disregard them. They may even wish for the death of their parents. So, in Vaishnavism, we respect the elders. Because a Vaishnav is a reservoir of Krishna consciousness. So the intelligent sadhaka, he draws deeply from that well of experience. The Vaishnav, yes, the materialist, they may be disregarded. Ultimately, that is their fitting fate. Because they have spent their life as a fool and rascal in sense gratification. So it is part of the karmic reaction. But the Vaishnav, who spent his life in the search for realization of the Supreme Lord, he is personally protected by the Supreme Lord. And we will see at the end of the chapter, this is exactly what happens to Vidarbhi. So Paranjan, he was experiencing the effect of old age. And it's a very interesting section earlier in the chapter, where it is explained that as he was dying, he was still remembering his wife. He was thinking, my wife, when I was angry, she would stay quiet and not become disturbed. When I needed good counsel, my wife would give me good counsel. She was always affectionate towards me. So in this way, the Bhagavatam and Narada Muni is explaining the sentimental attitude of the conditioned soul, even at the time of death. He's trying to take refuge in sentimental remembrance of the good old days. He's trying to remember how his wife was his best friend and confidant. But this is exactly the wrong thing to do. And this is the point of this chapter. Because Paranjan, as Narada Muni instructs Prichana Bharati, because Paranjan was thinking of his wife at the time of death, he became a well-situated, his wife was an elevated woman, he became a woman well situated in his life, in next life. He became the daughter of the king of Vidarbha. So his name was, in his next life, Vidarbhi. Vidarbhi in that sense. He was the daughter of the king, Vidarbha. So that Vidarbha, in Narada Muni's allegory, Vidarbhi, married Malyadwaj. And Malyadwaj was a great devotee, actually. So at the end of his life, he went to the forest to perform austerities. He performed all his kingly duties, his kshatriya duties. And now, let me use the last amount of energy I have for self-realization in an undistracted situation. So he left the kingship and he went to the forest. And Vidarbhi, Paranjan in her previous life, followed him. So Malyadwaj, there's a very good section here, and this is more information how we can stand and fight earlier. He meditated upon the Supreme Lord and performed austerities. Tapa. So tapa, Krishna explains in the Gita, I am tapasya. This is a very important point. Krishna is found in tapasya. He is not found in sense enjoyment. The first word spoken in the universe is tapa. Lord Brahma awoke upon the lotus flower, sprouted from the stem, rooted in the belly of Garbhadak Vishnu. How can I discover my source, my purpose? Let me meditate upon the absolute truth. Was his response when he heard these words, tapa. The Brahma Samhita gives the realization he received from the Supreme Lord after performing tapa for an extended period of time. So again we see that Lord Brahma did not sit idly. He performed tapa. So what is tapa? Sometimes translated as austerity. Prabhupada many times explains this is voluntary, that means personal decision to control the material senses. And when the material senses are controlled, disciplined, then the consciousness can be fixed on the Supreme Lord. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Therefore, in bhakti, in our standing and fighting, we have positive and negative. We have regulative principles. But the real business is the positive. Manmana bhavamad bhakto. To fix the consciousness in devotional mood upon the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. This is the essence of austerity. And once the internal activity is there, then the external activity will fall into place. Yet, at the same time, Krishna explains in the Gita to Arjuna, at first, control the external senses. Because by voluntarily exerting your will over the external material senses, controlling your eating, sleeping, mating and defending by the regulative principles of freedom, by exerting this direction in your life, you will learn how to control your senses and particularly your consciousness. Then you can withdraw the consciousness from the external body and fix it at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So this is yoga, three steps. Control the senses, withdraw the consciousness from the senses and fix it directly upon the Supreme Lord. Because the Supreme Lord is found, experienced, it says here, spurta. It is Supreme Lord, he is found directly through the consciousness. So we must learn to separate the consciousness from the body. We must learn, this is vijnan, how the consciousness is not dependent upon the body. Earlier we see here that before he attained this state of receiving direct instruction from the Supreme Lord, Malyadvaj realized that he was the witness of the body, that he's not the body. He understood, aham mameti, that this is illusion, thinking that I am this body and the extensions of this body are mine. A sense of proprietorship. Those things which I so-called own are mine. This body, this mind, this paraphernalia, this is mine. This is illusion. Ishivasya idam sarvam yat kinchat jagajam jagat. Ishupanishad, which is considered the essence of all Upanishads, all instructions to approach the Supreme, informs that everything is controlled and owned by the Supreme Lord. So, this is very important. If we maintain a sense of proprietorship over anything, and even our own mind and even our own soul, we will not realize the Supreme Lord in toto. Our realization will be peripheral. It explains here in the previous verse that Malyadvaj, through his meditation, his austerity, he realized that within the heart, Paramatma was sitting with himself. And as they were sitting together, there was no need of separate interest. That they were one. That he was Ansa, Satatam, eternal Ansa of the Supreme Lord. His relationship to the Supreme Lord was one of bhakti, manmana bhavamad bhakto. So the mood has to be of devotion. So Malyadvaj came to this understanding through direct perception. Now, do not think that you cannot. Do not think that this realization is just for the saints and sages in the Bhagavatam. Do not think because I'm a woman, I cannot attain that. Because we'll see that in the later part of the chapter. Do not think that because I'm old or young, I'm not intelligent, I'm not educated, I don't have money in the bank. Do not think that there is any material impediment. Because the word is given here, spurta. This enlightening discourse. So, in the Bhagavatam, earlier, there's that verse. Atak Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhaved Grayam Indriya Sevan Mukhi Hi Jivado Swayameva Spurtyada. So, that yes, the goal of self-realization is to realize the Supreme Lord and to realize my devotional relationship with that wonderful Supreme Lord. But he's beyond the material senses. So, how am I to do it? If we think we're the body, we have a problem. But the thing is, Sevan Mukhi Hi Jivadu, starting devotional service with control of the tongue, then Swayameva Spuryada. The Supreme Lord will reciprocate by Spurti. He will give Spurti. That means a spontaneous manifestation. There are three kinds of Spurti, manifestation by the grace of the Lord. And that is Vak. Bhava, Vak, and then Darshan. Bhava means the Supreme Lord. This is described in Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The Supreme Lord, in response to Jivado, Sevan Mukhi Hi Jivado, performing devotional service by controlling the tongue. I shouldn't mention Prashad at this time, but by taking Krishna Prashad and by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, then the Supreme Lord will spurti. He will reciprocate Goloka Prema Dana Harinam Sankitana. The first manifestation will be bhava, spiritual emotion. The emotion of an awakening soul will manifest will exude, will be part of the consciousness. One will feel ecstatic emotion, not conjured from the mental platform and mistaken as spiritual emotion. That is the mistake of the sahajiya. He thinks his sentimental emotion is bhava. No, this bhava is the awakening soul, the touch of Krishna, the touch of the soul's consciousness at the lotus feet of Krishna. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram. Please pick me up and fix me at your lotus feet. So spiritual emotion will arise in the soul. Prabhupada talks about rag bhakti in the purport. Rag bhakti brings, attracts bhava bhakti. It is the next stage. So then, vak, just like we hear here, that Mulidvaj was being directly instructed by the Supreme Lord. So this means the Supreme Lord will actually be heard by the devotee. And then, darshan. The devotee will have direct perception, manifestation of the form of the Lord. This is what the Bhagavatam starts. This is the premise of the Bhagavatam. Narada Muni, he was given instruction. He performed his sadhana. And one evening, when he was meditating, as the sages had directed him, he was conjuring up the form of Vishnu, and then Vishnu personally appeared. And he described there in the Bhagavatam that he was overcome with transcendental emotion, tears. His body was shivering, tears were coming from his eyes. And the Supreme Lord spoke to him. And he sat again, then the Supreme Lord withdrew that spurti. He sat again and tried to bring that vision again. But the Lord spoke. He said, Narada, you're not quite purified. I'm not really available to those that are not fully purified. But out of my mercy, I have appeared to you to inspire you. So this is also a point in this verse. Mulidvaj, he had attained purity. So he was completely and daily receiving instructions directly from the Supreme Lord, because he was fully purified. Narada Muni explains in the Bhagavatam, yes. So therefore I continued my meditation. I wandered through the land, through mining villages, through cities, through mountains, through forests with great animals. But my mind was always fixed on the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, having received such a vision. And then, at the end of life, it explains there that just like lightning and illumination or thunder appear at the same time, so he left his material body and his spiritual body was manifest fully. So this instruction, this Bhagavatam, it is for us to understand how to stand and fight, how to achieve the direct darshan of the Supreme Lord. This chapter is full of great instruction. We can hardly touch one drop of it in an hour or 50 minutes. But the main point is, here in this verse, that we should become inspired. We should know what our goal in life is. If you have a goal, then everything is woven towards the achievement of that goal. So Rupa Goswami has said that there are 6 items for the achievement of bhakti. Utsaha. One is, you must be confident. You should understand that I will attain the Supreme Lord. You should feel in your heart that this goal of becoming a personal associate of the Supreme Lord is possible. You should be confident. There should be no doubt. Yes, Kripa Siddhi might be there, but Kripa Siddhi, ultimately, everything is the Kripa of the Supreme Lord. But we want to act in such a way that the mercy of the Supreme Lord is evoked in our life. Huh? So, especially under the shelter of Sri Sri Gaura Nithai and Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, we have a wonderful formula to practice ourselves and to give to the world. How to evoke the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And the central point is loilam, lobha, anxiety, desire. Where do we go in life? What do we do? It is based on our desire. And we are vibhinansa, separated part. What does that mean? Krishna is everything. Arjuna saw Krishna's all these shaktis, all this energy is a manifestation of Him. He's controlling everything. So what is that vibhinansa? How are we separated? We are separated by, we have what's called minute kriya shakti. We can choose. We can exert icha shakti. We can choose our destination. We can choose where we focus our energy. So this is the point that Narada Muni is giving to Prichana Bharati. Understand your situation properly and use your energy properly, Prichana Bharati. Kamala Dala Jivana Talamala. Life is like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. You should observe it. Lotuses aren't growing in England, but they're all over India. If you look at the drop of water, there's an effect. The leaf of a lotus is hydrophobic. It repels water. So it forms a kind of round droplet. And the slightest touch of the leaf, the water will... So yes, King Prichana Bharati, Barishat, Narada is saying, Kamala Dala, life is very precarious, and even if the wind doesn't blow the leaf today, it may tomorrow. And if not tomorrow, pasam hoga. Someday will be. So, it is even more precarious, Prichana Barishat, if you are conditioned by the material energy, that is double precarious. But Krishna gives assurance to Arjuna. Nehabrakamu nashosti prachabayana vidite svapamapisa trayate mahatobaya. You'll be delivered from the great fear by just a little touch of devotional service. But we don't want to be just delivered from birth and death. Huh? We want to be delivered by Sri Guru, by Vaishnava Sangha, by Srimad Bhagavatam. We want to be delivered to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gaura Nithai. Srila Prabhupada Srimad Bhagavatam ki! Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So let that be our desire. Thank you all very much. Any questions?
Thank you, Prabhuji. You mentioned that according to Jyap Dharma, there are three ways the Lord gives Spurti. Bhava, Vak, I think it's the third one.
Bhava. Bhava, Vak, and Darshan.
Darshan is the last.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
And they are considered greater in intensity. But of course, they're not separated. They will come simultaneously. They will be. You can't like divide them. But in that sense, many devotees, if you talk to them, I remember one devotee. He told me one day he was doing sankirtan and selling books and working very hard, and then one day he went to Mangalarti, and he said, "I was just overcome by this spiritual emotion. And I saw all the devotees as residents of Vaikuntha." He said, "I saw them all as four-armed and as great souls, and this emotion just burst in my heart." So that is bhava. So that is initial. That is a touch of encouragement by Krishna. Yes? Mataji, you're next, okay. Yes? Oh. Go ahead, speak stentorianly. Falling down is natural to children, but not to adults. So what makes us adult? Adult means we know Siddhanta. You understand? Before we attain Krishna, we should know Siddhanta. We should know philosophy. Prabhupada says there in the purport, we only scratch the surface of the purport, that through the spiritual master, Krishna is within the heart, but he comes out, and as the spiritual master, he teaches us how to perceive the Supreme Lord in the heart. In the 13th chapter, there's a purport, Bhagavad Gita, where Prabhupada explains that. That because Krishna, we can't see Krishna, Krishna comes outside as a spiritual master. But you are talking about, you mean, it is more natural to come down to this material world. Well, is it more natural to go swimming or walking on the beach? So, it is not a natural condition to fall into the Maya Shakti. But we are given that choice. We are tatastha shakti, tata, situated between Maya and Krishna. So we can choose. If we misuse our choice, that is the explanation. Just like there's a voting, there's an election campaign. So before the campaign, before the voting day, one side will say, "Vote for me." Another side will say, "Vote for me." But then on the day of the voting, you go in the booth and you decide where you put your cross. So we come here by choice. And that is the natural thing. You see, we have choice. We are conscious. That is the bibhinangsa. We are separated in the sense that Krishna doesn't teach us what to choose, doesn't force us to choose. He stands back. Yetam mam prapadyante. All of them, as they approach me, samaham sarva bhuteshu, I'm equal to everyone. But one who is a friend to me, I'm a friend to him. So that choice is natural to the soul. It is intrinsic. That's what distinguishes us from matter. We have choice. And that is the greatest gift. And even if we misuse it, Krishna will send his Vaishnav, his Guru, his Shastra to teach us. But again, the point is there. Stand and fight. You choose. Huh? Krishna gave Arjuna all information, but then he said, now Arjuna, I've told you everything, now you can decide. So that is natural effect, to come down to Maya Shakti, in the sense that it is natural to choose. That is natural to the soul. But you must ask yourself that question, why I chose. Maybe you're a Nitya Siddha, maybe you've come from Golok, and you've come to give us your blessing. But don't be embarrassed. Ah, we all make mistakes. That is part of learning. So the whole material world is a place for learning, if we understand the function of this world, how to choose properly. Does that satisfy you? Yes. Not really a lot of endeavor. Take prasad and chant Hare Krishna. Especially in Kali Yuga, Namo Mahavidanyaya, it's very easy. That's why it's the greatest age. Eka, Mahadguna. In one life, King Mauryadwaj, you'll read here, he was in meditation for so many years of the demigods. And he actually passes from his body, and his wife, Puranjani, or Vidarbi, previously Puranjan, she has to feel his body to see if he's passed from the body, and she laments. But the fact is, he was meditating and performing austerities for a very, very long time. The austerity we should perform is to first get perfect Siddhanta at the lotus feet of Guru and Sadhu. We should get perfect understanding. And then we should, in a very vigorous way, simultaneously, take shelter of the holy name. We should increase our chanting. We should purify our chanting. This is the process for Kali Yuga. And you will find the more you chant, the more nectar it is. What does Narottam say? Goloka Prema Dana Harinam Sankirtan. Oh Lord Chaitanya, you've brought the holy name. Huh? Are you finding it difficult? Sitting in the Bhagavatam class, eating prasad free, chanting Hare Krishna. Is it a lot of endeavor? But try to improve your application. You see the point? Don't become satisfied. Be like a businessman. You know, a billionaire, he's walking down the road and he finds 1 rupee on the floor. He still picks it up. Feels very good. So, that is proper use of the nature of the soul. Always be looking for more bhakti. And then when you transfer to the spiritual energy and you start to, you will just run to that spiritual energy. The beginning is the difficult bit. Because we have to control the senses and give up the Maya Shakti. And our direct realization of Krishna is less. So we don't have the taste. But as we touch the spiritual energy, then we realize this is wonderful. So, just study Siddhanta, serve the Vaishnavas, take Krishna Prasad, increase your chanting. And all these things are very delightful, right? We're not going to the forest, standing under a tree for 1,000,000 years. No, in one short lifetime, we can go from being a madman to a great soul. Yes, Mataji.
I just wanted to say one thing, if it's okay.
Yeah, go on.
One time we were in Bombay and we walked into Srila Prabhupada's room. He was reading Krishna book.
Huh?
Srila Prabhupada was reading Krishna book.
Srila Prabhupada is reading Krishna
books. Yes, and my husband asked him, Srila Prabhupada, you're reading your own book. Srila Prabhupada replied, this book is so nice, I could never write anything this nice.
Ah.
Krishna has written this book. So Krishna has written all these books, so we can understand from this purport that unless we're completely pure, as the king was, we don't have direct association with Krishna. So when we're reading these books, we're directly associating with Krishna. As Prabhupada said, they were written by Krishna. He said that's why there will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. But the other day we heard in the class that we should pray to Prabhupada to meet Uttam Adhikari, devotee. So what do you think? Do we have to pray to Prabhupada for Uttam Adhikari, or is he sitting right here in front of us? Is he in
his
book?
Well, we're surrounded by Uttam Adhikaris. We're surrounded. He reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound. A Vaishnav dies to live, and in living spreads the holy sound around. That's my version. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explained that. This is a foolish idea, that the Vaishnavas are absent. The Vaishnavas are always present, particularly through their instructions. But one point is that when Prabhupada says Krishna wrote these books, that's yes, but we should also remember that between Krishna and his devotee and a great Mahabhagavat like Srila Prabhupada, there's a competition of giving credit. Right? We have to also give credit to Srila Prabhupada. Krishna would like us to give credit to Srila Prabhupada, but of course when we say, Prabhupada, your books are wonderful, Prabhupada, he will give credit to Krishna. So we should understand both things in that, you understand? So we should understand that Prabhupada also deserves great credit. And Krishna also deserves credit for helping Prabhupada. So
we'll
let them figure it out, Who is responsible?
He gave the example of Baladev Vidyabhushan.
Huh?
He gave the example of Baladev Vidyabhushan. He was sent to Jaipur to write the commentary in 7 days.
Yes, and he gave the credit to Govinda.
Yes, and he called it Govinda Vasya.
But Govinda would probably give the credit to Baladev.
Anyway, my point
is... This is love. You understand? This is the action of prema.
My point was that in the purport, Prabhupada says, unless one is pure and liberated, he cannot get direct association with Krishna. So by Prabhupada's mercy, by Krishna's mercy, we have direct association with Krishna through these books.
Yes, there's that conception. You must have a living guru, huh? So, what guru is ever dead? Huh? If we say there is a living guru and a dead guru, we imply there's a dead guru. But if somebody was actually qualified as Uttam Adhikari, he's never dead. Not even the soul in a bug is dying. Death, living and death, this is illusory. And the great acharyas, Rupa Goswami is just as present now in Vrindavan as he ever was. But we have to have the devotional consciousness. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, Premanjana Charita Bhakti, you know, people say, show me God. God is everywhere, so show me. Yes, but you must have Premanjana. You must have devotion. Huh? So for the devotee, all bhaktas, the whole parampara, and Sri Krishna himself is immediately present. And this is the also part of the message in this sloka. Malia Dwaj was personally perceiving Krishna. He didn't think Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, like we may think now, right? Krishna is still in Vrindavan. Krishna is here. He's on the altar. Krishna is within the heart. Krishna's cows are there in the Goshala. Krishna's devotees are here, walking the land. The dust that Krishna is walking upon is still here. It's getting covered up by concrete. But that is the leela of the Dham. With bhakti we can see through, and we can see the Dham. It's fully active now as it was in the time of Krishna. But we have to have premanjana charita. We have to have bhakti. We have to understand in that way. Do you see the point? So if anyone says, oh, your guru has passed on, this is all nonsense. This is all nonsense. And now you have to have a new guru. This is all nonsense. Because guru lives in the heart of the disciple. Is that okay, Mataji? The disciples, the guru lives in the heart of the disciple eternally. This is Siddhanta. This is why we must understand Siddhanta. When we're in the neophyte condition, we may be short of realization. So therefore we should understand spiritual knowledge, and then we'll not become bewildered. Yes. No. Go on. Well, yes, there's a debate going on. Who is guru, this and that. But that debate is good, because by bringing up these topics, we meditate on topic. It stimulates discussion. It stimulates reference to Srila Prabhupada's books. And then by the grace of Krishna, if we're sincere and we're not adopting preconceptions, then Krishna will enlighten us. Often people have an agenda, not yourself, but some, and they want to push a certain point that they think is true from a neophyte condition. So they have an agenda, they want to prove a point, but they don't really understand that who are they to make Siddhanta. Siddhanta is Purida. It is ultimately revelation from the transcendental platform. And the greater our understanding of Siddhanta will correspond with our increase in bhakti. So we should always understand that I have a lot to learn. We should be very careful against coming to conclusions on very subtle topics. So your topic is, who is Uttamadhikari? How we can recognize? Well, that's what I'm saying. You have to become a sage yourself. Then you can see everything clearly. You understand? Ultimately, like I say, you can go to Guru and Sadhu and Vaishnava and get information. But through spiritual realization, just like Krishna says in the Gita, when your mind, your consciousness has passed out of the forest of delusion, then you become indifferent to all which has been said and all this gobbledygook. Because you will be situated in truth. So, Mahajyena Katasva Panta. In the Vedas there's so much this and there may be so many ideas. But where is Dharma to be found? Jiva Dharma means the natural nature, the Dharma of the soul. It is found within the heart of the self-realized soul. Therefore, who is right and wrong? We should go to the great soul. When we're in, as you very modestly say, when we're in the neophyte condition, and we should always go, we should always maintain that attitude, that I am a neophyte, I need to learn. If we think, oh, I'm a great musician, we'll stop practicing. But if we think, I'm a student of music, we will continue our endeavor. So, who do we go to? We go to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. We go to, Shastra is the ultimate authority. We go to the Shastra. We go to Guru Parampara. We go to the established Acharyas. And we go to the qualified Guru. And we take advice from them with an open heart. And we pray to the Lord to imprint that Siddhanta with realization in our own heart. You understand my point? You see, in the Vedanta Sutra, Vedavyasa says, Tarkena apritista, you know? Tarkena. Not by argumentation can I be found. The absolute truth cannot be understood by Tarka. Tarkena apritista. You cannot obtain Siddhanta through argumentation. So often this debate becomes polluted by passion and ignorance. And then people battle egotistically, who is right and who is wrong. So that is the business of neophytes. If they're sincere, eventually Krishna will come there. And it is stated in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that when devotees debate, or you know, Nityananda and Advaitacharya, they would argue. So in the purports there, and Acharyas have said, that if we see devotees arguing, we should think that this is the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. We shouldn't be utopian. Why are they doing this? It should be like that. You understand? We should stand back. But ultimately we should understand that I've been given the process to realize Siddhanta, to realize Krishna, you see. And the way to do that is relying on the Supreme Lord. Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram, I'm in this material world. You pick me up. You teach me Siddhanta. This is what's meant by submissive oral reception. If we have an agenda, this is a sign of material contamination. I think this, I think that. But ultimately, we have to go to the great sages. And we have to pray to Krishna. Reveal who is qualified to instruct me. And then we have to realize it, the truth, ourselves. And we should have confidence, that's what I'm saying. We should not think that realization is just for the great Acharyas. Krishna, he's the father of all children. He wants every child to realize him fully. So if we open our heart to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, and then we should also be detached, actually. We should be detached. Vairagya, Gyan Vairag. If you have Vairag, if you have real Vigyan, if you have realization, then you become a little detached. Just like Saranga Thakur. Saranga Thakur is a famous devotee in Chaitanya Leela. He didn't get involved in anything, but he was always on the bank of the Ganga, doing his bhajan, doing puja to Ganga. He was developing mystic power. And then Lord Chaitanya one day came to him and said, many people wanted to be his disciple, but Lord Chaitanya personally came and said, Saranga, you've got to take disciples. So this is the point, that we should not become distracted from our own bhajan. And we should understand with a mature vision that this world is always going to be, you know, opinionation. And that in itself is part of the process, because it stimulates discussion and reference. But that reference and that chastity must be to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. If that is forgotten and devalued, is a dangerous condition. So therefore, the acharyas, they always point to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And at their lotus feet, we can get Siddhanta. But we should go there with an open heart. Like if you go to a music teacher and you say, look, I know all the... You're not playing correctly. Then what's the use? I'm not saying this is the case. But the point is that if you want to learn from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, you have to go there with a desire to learn, not to prove your point. And people have that. Often that's a contamination. They think they're... What do they say, common saying? A little learning is a dangerous thing. Some people, they haven't even read the Bhagavatam once, and they want to pronounce on Siddhanta. So, the main thing is, don't become distracted from your own personal sadhana. And understand, this is all natural. This is the material world. If you turn over a rock, you'll find the ants are there. And they're probably having politics. You understand? It's part of the fun. And it is necessary part of spiritual life. Because we don't say everything is one, all devotees are Mahabhagwat. That is the Mayavadi idea. Solve the variety, solve the question by saying everything is one. That is illusory. That is skepticism. Let there be big discussion, but let it be on the basis of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And without rancor. And let us have the humility to accept the teachings. Is that satisfying? Well, sorry, we've gone over. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.